WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Hamas released another round of hostages today. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb is in Tel Aviv.
We understand that 10 Israelis have crossed over from Gaza through the Rafah crossing into Egypt with the ICRC, as well as two foreign nationals. So two more than were expected.
So far, 4-year-old Abigail Adan's the only American freed. Her aunt spoke to CBS News.
Please, somebody can just wake me up from this nightmare. I couldn't believe what happened to us. And when she came back, it was, I think, the first time I could do like this.
The U.S. is pushing for another extension on that deal. And BBC reporter Hugo Bachega says the longer it goes, the better.
This morning, smoke was seen in Gaza's sky, but the truce seems to be holding. On the ground, desperately needed aid is finally getting in. Still, it's not enough.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reports say former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to announce his plans to run for state Supreme Court Thursday. Schimmel was Wisconsin's Republican Attorney General for 4 years. Incumbent Ann Walsh Bradley has served 3 terms on the high court. The race could again tilt the court's ideological balance. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The State Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the 5-year average. But wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities are still looking for a Black River Falls woman who went missing on Thanksgiving. 53-year-old Stacy Schrammick went missing around 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving and was last seen leaving her sister's home on North Roosevelt Road in a blue and red kayak. The kayak was later found by authorities, and they're asking residents to contact them with any information that could help them narrow their search parameters. Schrammick is 5'5" and 200 pounds with brown hair and eyes. Quick Trip has announced it's voluntarily recalling some of its fruit cups and trays as salmonella infections connected to cantaloupe rise across the country. The chain will recall its 6-ounce mixed fruit cups and cantaloupe cups and 16-ounce fruit trays with sell-by dates between November 4th and December 3rd. The FDA has reported nearly 100 people became sick from contaminated cantaloupe across 32 states, including Wisconsin, and 2 people in Minnesota have died from infection. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Packers getting ready for the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice, got some players back from the injury list. Defensive back Eric Stokes worked out. Running back Aaron Jones did some drills, but he's dealing with that MCL sprain. They're short at running back, so is he close? I asked Matt LaFleur.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, I think we're a long way from that.
The Packers host the Chiefs on Sunday night. College basketball, the Badgers with a 71-49 win over Western Illinois. Wisconsin will host Marquette this Saturday. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight to face the Heat. Giannis on how much Damian Lillard helps him and the team play better.
So like early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there. So he's picking up on things. So now we are trying to figure out ways to kind of complement one another's game. He can still be Dame and I can still be Giannis. It makes the game easier for our teammates.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's still going to be a little chilly out there today. Partly cloudy, 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a bit breezy. We'll drop down to 21. The wind out of the south to west, 15 to 20, gusting to 25. And then tomorrow, sunshine, 38. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dom. I'd like to entitle this one, "The Kids Are Not All Right Tuesday Edition."
The Kids Are Not All Right, Crudy. Happy Tuesday, Nate. Working the board, our fair audience. Yes, you are right, man. The kids are not all right. But I guess it depends on who you ask.
From my point of view, I think the kids are doing just fine. I think the kids are wonderful. And when we reference the kids, we mean new voters, right, Dom? Especially the college-age new voters.
Like literally our kids' ages.
Our kids. My son, Karsten, gets to vote next year's presidential. Oh, yeah. In fact, he might even get to vote in the primary.
Ooh.
The partisan primary. That's in August, right? He's an early August birthday. I'll leave it at that. But he turns 18 next year. Caden gets to vote. You're Izzy and Adler, they both are of voting age now, Dom.
Absolutely. The kids and are all right. My kids are all right, man.
My kids are pretty damn good as well. Yeah, I haven't noted. Right. And of course, Kelsey in California, you know, she's on the leftist coast, Dom.
Oh, yes.
And I've noted in our five children, and sometimes the kids rebel against the parents, let's just say.
Yeah.
There's not a young Republican in the bunch.
Not one member of the Young America's Foundation.
Now, my one son does want to pursue a business career, perhaps someday, Dom. You know, you could see where it might push him towards an Alex P. Keaton kind of future. But no, not in this political environment. You know, to go on campus means you're probably thoughtful if you're pursuing higher education. Now, I went for the beer. You know, lacrosse was quite a party school when we attended, Dom.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby.
Although that night we were there, it still seems like it's doing its best as a party school, upholding the grand reputation as a party school. But we were there Oktoberfest weekend. It was
careful, man. It's tough to leave that town sometimes. You know how college towns are. They're a blast.
They are. And they often vote, let's just say, blue, Dom. And that's where the problem comes in for Republicans. Especially the Scotty Wanker sort. Let's lead with the Rolling Stone National Magazine. Here's what it says. The GOP is pushing to steal students' votes. Instead, they're seeing increased turnout in lawsuits challenging new restrictions.
Yes.
Here is what's reported at the Rolling Stone. Last week in Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court heard arguments
in a case that could invalidate the state's comically, ludicrously, preposterously gerrymandered maps. I don't think even Protasewicz went that far.
I mean, that's a hell of a first sentence.
If the court strikes those maps down, it will likely mean the end of the GOP's decade-long domination of the state house, and it will be because of what happened in Dane County in April. And I'd like to say as a footnote, you're welcome.
Well done.
I think we've been doing our best here to turn out the vote in Dane County for 12 years plus, Tom. But anyways, if we can take credit for just our little sliver of a part.
Oh, we're being way too humble. It's all because of us.
Dom, almost a quarter million voters turned out in Dane, home of the University of Wisconsin, for a spring special election. Several thousand more voters than turned out in Milwaukee, a county with almost double Dane's population. A staggering 82% of Dane voters cast ballots to elevate liberal Judge Janet Protasewicz to the state Supreme Court. Protasewicz, whose vote could decide the gerrymandering case, ended up winning by 11 points, by essentially the margin of Dane County, I think, Dom, coming on the heels of the 2022 midterms when Wisconsin led the nation in youth turnout in the country. The GOP judicial candidate's April humiliation stunned the party. The GOP, that is, if you weren't clear. Former Wisconsin gubernator Scott Walker put it plainly, young people are the issue.
You damn kids, get off my lawn.
Doesn't he have a couple of young ones recently out of college? We've got to turn it around if we're going to win again, says Walker. You're not going to win again, Wanker. Now the president of the conservative youth organization, I always get this wrong, Tom, called Young Adolphs. No, Young America's Foundation.
Young America's Foundation.
And he told Fox News the power that young voters weld was not exactly a revelation to Walker. As governor 12 years earlier, he signed a law making it harder to use student ID to vote, prompting universities in Wisconsin to offer IDs that met the state's new standards for free. And student engagement has only soared in Wisconsin in the years since. But that hasn't stopped the GOP from pulling pages from the same playbook across the country this year. Targeted efforts to disenfranchise student voters have ramped up as election after election prove just how critical the bloc is to guarantee Democratic victories. I appreciate the IC at the end of Democratic victories. With encouragement from influential GOP operatives, those efforts, which met with middling success in 23, are poised to escalate in 24. And they speak to growing fear with which Republican officials and strategists regard the young voters. Dom, the kids are not all right as far as the GOP is concerned.
Crudy, again, from the Rolling Stone, written by Tessa Stewart. I'll jump in here. In Wisconsin, the GOP-controlled legislature has seized every opportunity to try and block students from voting. A quote from Morgan Hess, the executive director of Wisconsin Assembly Democrats: "We've seen really strong student engagement in our last couple of elections, and suddenly we're seeing new legislation that would prohibit students' ability to vote." Hess pointed to GOP efforts over the past several years to make it harder to register, eliminate drop boxes, shorten early voting, increase residency requirements, and reduce polling locations, mostly in Madison and Milwaukee. Has said they are very targeted operations that serve to further entrench the power they already have.
That does seem like a trend, does it not?
It certainly does. Again, as mentioned, the same playbook. Months after their April routing, party functionaries at the Wisconsin GOP convention mulled a resolution demanding college students to vote absentee in their hometowns. One supporter of the resolution declared students had hijacked his city. The resolution failed to advance after another official raised the possibility that attacking students' right to vote could backfire, an argument that seems prophetic in retrospect, as a growing number of polls show Donald Trump, the presumptive GOP nominee, outpolling Joe Biden with young voters. Nevertheless, Republicans and state legislatures across the country this year have proposed laws targeting the student vote. In New Hampshire, House Republicans introduced a bill that would have prohibited any college students who pay out-of-state tuition from voting and require the state's colleges to provide the Secretary of State with a list of eligible voters. Lawmakers want the elections to be the reflection of those who reside in New Hampshire towns and who ultimately bear the consequences of election results, said Republican Rep. Sandra Panik, who introduced the measure in committee. The bill was eventually killed. The same month, a GOP lawmaker in Texas introduced a bill that would ban polling places at colleges and universities. That bill has not advanced out of committee. In Virginia, there was a failed effort to repeal a law that allows anyone 16 or older to register to vote if they will be 18 by the next major election. And according to the Voting Rights Lab, legislation seeking to change the rules around student IDs was introduced or enacted in at least 15 states this year. It's all part of a concerted strategy advanced by GOP operatives like Cleta Mitchell, one of the central figures behind Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. At his summit a few weeks after Wisconsin's April election, Mitchell told Republican donors that the party must do more to limit campus voting in swing states like Wisconsin, quote, for any candidate other than a leftist to have a chance to win in 2024. Nate, we got a little bit of sound of Cleta Mitchell. And as soon as I read this article and Cleta's mentioned, I know exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you, Nate, for digging it up. Here's Cleta Mitchell lamenting those damn kids.
So we need to be looking at what are these college campus locations and polling. What is this young people effort that they do? They basically put the polling place next to the student dorm, so there's like a roll out of bed, go back to bed. And we need to build strong election integrity task forces in those counties.
I mean, heaven forbid you make it easy for students and everybody to vote. I mean, they're saying it out loud. And what are these committees, what are these task forces going to do? Well, of course, limit the ability to what? Put polling places in college dorms. You know where concentrated people are. Lots of people can roll out of bed and vote. Shouldn't that be how it is? Or should it be harder for people to vote? Cleta Mitchell. A little bit more here from the Rolling Stone. Students and their advocates are pushing back against these efforts. In Wisconsin, leaflets distributed on campus ahead of April's election included information educating voters about the state's ID requirements. In Idaho, the state that saw the largest increase in voter registration from 18 to 19-year-olds ahead of the 2020 midterms, a law set to go into effect January 1st, which bans the use of student ID to register to vote or cast a ballot, is being challenged in lawsuits by the organization Babe Vote, the League of Women Voters, and March for Our Lives Idaho. The group claims that the law violates constitutional protections against age discrimination in voting. Young people are the reason why Biden won in 2020, and Democrats up and down the ballot won in 22 and 23, said Abi Rahman, National Communications Director for the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. If Gen Z continues to vote, we're on the cusp of the most progressive era in our country's history. Republicans know this as well, and that's why they're doing everything they can to stop young people from voting, including the fight for restrictions that we're seeing play out in states like Wisconsin today. I think we got one more. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we got more Cleta Mitchell. Play it while there's time, please, Nate.
Wisconsin is a big problem because of the polling locations on college campuses. There are 501c3s. Their goal for the Supreme Court race was to turn out 240,000 college students in that Supreme Court race. And we don't have anything like that. And we need to figure out how to do that and how to combat that.
Mostly through voter suppression of the young kids there.
You could suppress the vote, or you could, I don't know, change your policies and your platform. I mean, there's an idea.
The kids are not all right as far as the GOP is concerned. Some fine reporting, Wisconsin-centric. Thought we'd lead there today, Dom. Got some surprises coming back, though. Also, I've seen from the Fulton County new news on who will not be getting a plea agreement, including the former president. That one's not a shocker. A couple more on the list. You got to come back to find out for sureies.
The Tap.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday. holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
This thing right here.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
What guys talk about.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I got a couple of small updates. One, the eagerly awaited CJ hour-long entire podcast, full context. Nate did the work. He posted it. And also, our colleague, Nauticon, he was traveling, taking an international vacation, brought back some booze.
Yeah.
And I've got to assume, of the two bottles, one is the Regency and one is the Hong Thong. And you're a Hong Thong kind of guy if I ever met one. So
I look forward to trying it out. Thank you, Nautica.
I have set aside the Hong Thong for your enjoyment, Dom. And I'm not going to try any today, but I will mention I am on the mend. I'm okay. I'm doing the show from the studio. So there'll be no more,
feeling better, man.
No more talk of Crudy's necessary home remedies. 844-967-2789. Dom, a story that intrigued me today, though. It is a story about who will not be getting a pardon. Who will not be getting a pardon. And it's basically Donald Trump talking about the Fulton County in Georgia. And I had not seen this. This was new news to me, Dom, and I'd like to think I'm well read on the topic of Donald Trump going to court, Donald Trump being charged criminally, feloniously in many multi-jurisdictions. But here's new news out of Georgia. Georgia prosecutors oppose plea deals for Trump, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani. They're going to get prosecuted to the full extent of the law, Dom. No sweetheart deals. Fulton County prosecutors do not intend to offer plea deals to Donald Trump and at least two high-level co-defendants charged in connection with their efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, according to two people familiar with the matter, preferring instead to force them to trial. I prefer that as well, Dom. I can't wait for that trial. And in the state of Georgia, I would point out it will be televised.
Yes.
And it will not be subject to the pardon of the Republican governor. So if he gets convicted in Georgia, he's going to prison in Georgia, right?
Yes.
A little bit more here. Aside from those three, the Fulton County District Attorney, Fonnie Willis, has opened plea talks or left open the possibility of talks with the remaining co-defendants in hope that they will ultimately decide to become cooperating witnesses against the former president, the people said. The previously unreported decision has not been communicated formally and could still change. For instance, if prosecutors shift strategy, I don't see them doing so, though. But it signals who prosecutors consider their main targets and how they want to weld the power of Georgia's racketeering statute to their advantage. They're going to weld some power down. What do you think about this?
I think it's not looking great for the former president. And I think he's going to have a really, really tough time getting out of it. And I certainly hope that plea deals for everybody else. I'd love to see just those three. You know, Meadows, Trump, Giuliani. I mean, these are the folks that did it. Everyone else is, you know, snared into it. I mean, part of it, granted, they willingly did this. But if you're now going to acknowledge your wrongdoing and testify against the ringleaders, that's going to be a sight to behold. I don't think Trump's going to take it very well. I don't think Trump's doing very well on this at all. And we hear, you know, about the cognitive issues with Donald Trump. There may be some of that. I don't know. But what I do know, there's a lot of pressure on Donald Trump. And he may laugh it off and play it off and tweet out or whatever he does, you know, to like a madman. And maybe that's his way of dealing with it. But there is a lot of pressure on an older guy who's looking at what? Getting his bank taken away and facing prison time in Georgia.
Tom, what about the Republican House counter effort to impeach Joe Biden? And of course, bring Hunter Biden to some sort of secret closed-door justice.
Still an impeachment inquiry going on, right? There's an inquiry going. I haven't seen a lot of reporting on it. I did see Hunter Biden offered to testify, but it has to be public. And the Republicans are very mad about that.
What do you think about this move? I mean, I think this is brilliant. Hunter Biden offered through a letter, through counsel apparently, to the House, whatever cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs committee, is currently, I think it's the Justice Committee, Comer the chair thereof, but they're trying to bring him in, but not for public testimony, just some super secret, we get to slant the outcome sort of testimony.
Right.
And Comer was very embittered. In fact, there was a Republican rep that's like, yeah, Hunter Biden should testify publicly. And then he deleted his Twitter account, or at least took down the tweet, Dom, because that's not what Comer wants to do. It doesn't work this way for them. If they've got to put it out there transparently in the light, Dom, there may not be enough there. But if they can take it behind closed doors and, you know, you can sort of infer the guilt, well, then we're on to something.
Well, then they can keep the conversation alive for their political purposes. The Roster reported that apparently Comer 2 weeks ago, they reprinted a Joseph Costello tweet. He was the press secretary for the Oversight Democrats, posted a video making it clear he was fine 2 weeks ago with a hearing, and further, he would agree to testify alongside Biden. I would be happy to sit with Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and go over our LLCs. Let's do that. Let's do that. We'll be transparent. So apparently, Comer, who apparently has some LLCs of his own, he's fine with an open door testimony right out in public. Let's do it. But not when it comes to Hunter Biden, because what? If you take the story away, what are they going to try to beat over the head of the president with? And even so, the strategy, and I don't know to what degree Hunter has benefited himself and his family. Apparently, the Republicans are very, very upset about it. But if he's willing to come out and testify under oath publicly and call their bluff and lay it out there, why wouldn't you take it? Oh, that's right, because it's a political game.
I think it's a masterful strategy by Hunter Biden's legal team. Abby Lowell, a lawyer representing Hunter Biden, disclosed the offer in a letter in response to a subpoena this month from House Republicans seeking a deposition, which would take place behind closed doors. Biden's counteroffer to appear publicly is a striking escalation in the battle between the president's son and congressional Republicans, who have focused on his past business dealings and have launched impeachment hearings aimed at President Biden. Without a vote, though, and that was under the last speaker, so I'd like to get the current speaker's opinion. Do you need a vote?
What's actually happening? Nah, we don't need a vote. It's the Republican Congress. No votes are needed.
Dominic Lowell's three-page letter cited past comments from Rep. James Comer, the chairman of the committee that essentially dared Hunter Biden to come and testify in public. A double dog dare ya. Mr. Chairman, we take you up on your offer. Lowell wrote in a copy of the letter reviewed by the Washington Post. Accordingly, our client will get right to it by agreeing to answer any pertinent, relevant question you or your colleagues might have. But rather than subscribing to your cloaked, one-sided process, we will appear at a public oversight and accountability committee hearing. A public proceeding would prevent selective leaks, manipulated transcript, doctored exhibits, and one-sided press statements. Here's what the House Republicans said in response, Dom. Hunter Biden's trying to play by his own rules, and instead of following the rules required for everyone else, that won't stand with House Republicans. Yeah, tell me that when Mark Meadows appears, or Jim Jordan, or all right, the ones that ignored the last round of subpoenas. More devils. Come on back.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimel plans to run for state Supreme Court in 2025. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term is coming up, and she said she plans to run again. Just like earlier this year, the 2025 race is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Schimel was the state's Republican Attorney General from 2015 to 2019. Bradley has served 3 terms on the high court. While you were relaxing over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, Wisconsin state troopers were busy. The state patrol says it issued about 600 speeding tickets and responded to 128 crashes between Wednesday and Sunday. State troopers gave out 591 speeding tickets and arrested 18 impaired drivers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what...
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Menominee Board of Education has voted to pass a $4.2 million operational referendum, which will be sent to next year's ballot. The board voted unanimously to pass the referendum to give voters the chance to pass it as well. If the referendum is passed by voters, it will cost approximately $125 for every $100,000 their house is worth per year. School officials say if the referendum fails to pass on the February 20th ballot, there's a chance some district schools may be forced to close. Felony charges have been dropped against a member of a Wisconsin school board who posted a photo of his marked ballot on Facebook in an April 2022 election. 52-year-old Paul Buzzle faced a maximum penalty of 3.5 years in prison and $10,000 in fines, but Judge Paul Malloy dismissed the charges on Monday. Judge Malloy ruled that the state law prohibiting voters from showing their marked ballots to anyone else violates the constitutional right to freedom of speech.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Packers getting ready for the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice, got some players back from the injury list. Defensive back Eric Stokes worked out. Running back Aaron Jones did some drills, but he's dealing with that MCL sprain. They're short at running back, so is he close? I asked Matt LaFleur.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, I think we're a long way from that.
The Packers host the Chiefs on Sunday night. College basketball. The Badgers with a 71-49 win over Western Illinois. Wisconsin will host Marquette this Saturday. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight to face the Heat. Giannis on how much Damian Lillard helps him and the team play better.
So, like, early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now, 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there. So, he's picking up on things. So, now we're trying to figure out ways to kind of complement one another's game. He can still be Dame and I can still be Giannis. It makes the game easier for our teammates.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
It's still going to be a little chilly out there today. Partly cloudy, 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a bit breezy. We'll drop down to 21. The wind out of the south to west, 15 to 20, gusting to 25. And then tomorrow, sunshine, 38. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
the Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Kids Are Not All Right Tuesday edition. If you know some kids, tell them to listen to the greatest radio show ever and join us. Phone lines always available and toll free, just like the kids like it. 844-967-2789. And if you don't like to hear yourself on the radio, we accept text at that very same line. You can get the super cool Civic Media app you can take us with, and it makes it very easy to text us or call us during the live show, Dom. So, you know, tell the kids, tell everybody. Here is where I want to go next. It's playing the American Girl, a little ironically, 844-967-2789. For Nikki Haley, the choice of the Koch Brothers Network yeah. to represent the Republican people and, you know, I guess Americans, Dom, because she's running for president. And up until now, I kind of thought she was running for vice president because she really hadn't had the courage to stand up to Donald Trump, act like she's actually trying to knock him off his pedestal or whatever he's on there.
Right. Everyone's been way too nice about it. Well, with the exception of Chris Christie.
I saw Chris Christie on the morning show this morning when this news was breaking, and they did not quiz Christie about what this does to him. But I did see articles already later in the day that said, well, if Chris Christie would just drop out, then Nikki Haley could what? Be Trump's vice presidential, which would right. defeat the entire purpose of the Koch network trying to find an alternative to Donald Trump. But here's where it plays well, Dom. Iowa, the caucuses like 50 days from now, January 15th in Iowa, dude.
Coming quick.
We going?
Yeah, probably.
Tuesday night to Dubuque. Where else would you want to spend a Tuesday night on a cold January evening? We'll go back to Dubuque for the third presidential elective cycle, perhaps, Dom. But a little reporting on the Koch network's endorsement of Nikki Haley, and they're going to bring the ground game to Iowa, which could help her. Here's what it says. The powerful political network led by conservative billionaire Charles Koch endorsed Nikki Haley for president on Tuesday as it looks to stop Donald Trump from being the Republican nominee. Now, I would point out, Dom, I just pulled up the Marquette University Law School polling from the great state of Wisconsin. We are considered one of the pivotal swing states, right? And this polling from November 15th. And it was very, very close, but Biden was winning against Donald Trump in this key swing state. One of the few, if you looked at the Siena poll and the, New York Times poll.
Yeah.
Hell, we were the only blue wall state left. But here's what's interesting. Nikki Haley, in that very same poll, was ahead of Joe Biden in Wisconsin, 55-45. Oof. That would be a much different dynamic if it was Haley in the general. The problem is nobody told the Trumpsters. Right. So anyways, the Americans for Prosperity Action, the network's flagship political group, announced the group's first endorsement of this type in a presidential race. Never done this before, Dom. In 2015, the Koch network identified 5 approved presidential candidates, all of whom fell to Trump. Scotty Wanker was on that list, wasn't he?
He sure was, and he went quick.
AFP Action is proud to throw our full support behind Nikki Haley, who offers America the opportunity to turn the page on the current political era, to win the Republican primary, and to beat Joe Biden next November. Haley will have the full weight and scope of AFP's Action's unmatched grassroots army and resources to help her earn the support of Americans to become the next president of the United States of America. Dom, is this a game changer?
It may be. That's. I mean, like it or not, those are some big players in the political arena. Crudy, the endorsement comes just under 7 weeks before the first nominating contest in Iowa, with Trump in command of the race there and in other early states. Haley, the former UN ambassador and governor of South Carolina, gained momentum in the Republican primary and has, in many ways, surpassed Florida Governor DeSantis as the top alternative to Trump. She is pitching herself as the most capable general election candidate, with some polls showing her outperforming rivals against President Biden, as Crudy mentioned. But Trump is still far ahead in polls of the Republican race, leaving questions about how effective the move will be by the Koch network and other anti-Trump entities entering the fray late in the race. Other influential Republicans seeking to stop Trump have weighed in on the race this fall, including Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who endorsed DeSantis in recent weeks and has since appeared with him on the campaign trail in support of his bid. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, another Trump critic, suggested he will soon make an endorsement of either Haley DeSantis or Chris Christie. The Koch network endorsement comes after a splintering of the anti-Trump wing of the party, with acknowledgments by some of the most prominent groups at the space that few of their attacks against the former president have been effective. While Haley has been ascendant in the Republican race, there are some doubts in the party about the strength of her ground operation, particularly in Iowa, where organizing for the January 15th caucuses is seen as key. Iowa Republican strategists said that AFP's sophisticated ground operation and political network could help close the gap and ease concerns around the campaign's capacity to build off her momentum in the state, but noted DeSantis also has recently gained endorsements of influential state surrogates. The group promised to employ the largest grassroots operation in the country and a presence in all 50 states in support of Haley. I mean, AstroTurf, you got to pay the money for the seed, Crudy. While it declined to answer how much it will spend to help Haley, the Super PAC spent more than $69 million in the 2022 cycle, according to FEC disclosures.
2022 is a midterm. They spent $70 million in the midterms.
Can you double it? So what do you think? Double it? $150 million? What? I don't know. AFP's action endorsement will put thousands of AFP action activists and grassroots leaders into the field with a focus on early primary states knocking on doors, urging voters to support Nikki Haley, the memo said. Additionally, in the coming days, we'll launch extensive mail, digital, and connected television campaigns to supplement those on-the-ground efforts. Some leaders, AFP leaders, had initially planned to make an endorsement by the end of summer, and the presumptive candidate was Ron DeSantis, according to people familiar with the decision-making process. But an opportune moment never came as DeSantis's campaign struggled, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe private talks. The organization declined to comment on its deliberations. Its decision is another blow to the Florida governor, who's been struggling to gain traction in recent months. It's so hard to figure out why he seems like such a natural character. I mean, the way he smiles and engages with the audience is quite something to behold, Crudy.
Dominic, Nikki Haley, at a rally very recently in Iowa earlier this month, here's what she said. Speaking at a campaign event in Iowa earlier this month, Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, said she would have signed a 6-week abortion ban in her state if she were the governor and it reached her desk. Yes, whatever the people decide. Is that what the people have decided, Dom? That would seem completely oxymoronic and contrary to what all of the voting and polling and actual turnout has been in these, granted, off-year election cycles. But that seems completely antithesis to what even Republicans want. They're not looking for more harshness to throw on top of the overturning of Roe v. Wade right now, are they? I saw Chris Christie this morning saying, I would not sign a 6-week abortion ban. I think it should go down to the individual states. It always should have been a states' rights issue. You know, that's how Republicans often play these things. But Nikki Haley trying to be all things to all people. You know, if you're in front of the right evangelicals, sure, 6-week abortion ban, whatever I got to say to earn your vote.
Yes. Politics, baby. Well, Republican politics, certainly. And states' rights issues on abortion, really? I mean, should states' rights determine, you know, interracial marriage? You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe whether or not slavery should be allowed. Oh, that's up to the states. I think we've had some of these conversations in the past.
Well, it's still a better answer than a 6-week abortion ban, as far as I'm concerned. But I would wonder, do you think this will change the dynamic of the electorate? If indeed this organization, this very powerful and well-funded organization, piles money into the state of Iowa, plenty of talk radio, they can buy up lots of ads, buy up lots of ground, you know, people on the ground knocking doors and telling people caucus for our candidate.
Especially in Iowa. I think that makes, you know, that's the greatest impact. Of course, they got to do it early. You got to do it now. And you should have been doing it already, but I guess, you can, when you got that kind of money, you can make up a lot of time.
Well, I think they certainly probably could. So my question is it a game changer? Because if we see the defeat of Donald Trump in the primary, I mean, it gets real messy if Trump has the prerequisite number of electors and then he gets convicted. And Chris Christie, again, I'm referencing an earlier today interview I saw in the Morning Joe, got up for the Scarborough this morning. Christie said effectively he will be convicted specifically by Jack Smith in the Washington, D.C. case, the January 6th case. Well, that would be a game changer because that opens up a whole number of ballot challenges, right? Because then you got a rationale under the 14th Amendment to ban the man from the ballot. And I know some have been advocating, you know, there's already evidence thereof. But once you've got a conviction, he would be ineligible for the ballot in most of the electoral states. It would only take a few to change the math dramatically. And if that's the case, Dom, you got to throw him overboard.
Of course, man. I've been telling you, hey, what is it about Chris Christie saying it that makes you, I don't know, seemingly believe it more than what I've been telling you?
Well, I'm telling you, with the Koch Brothers Network behind Nikki Haley, there might actually be a viable alternative to Donald Trump. You know, given an alternative, some people change their mind. In fact, I believe Chris Christie this morning claimed his internal polling shows that 75% of Trump voters are persuadable towards another candidate in the primary. 75%, he claims. He said that some large number don't intend to make up their mind until the last 3 days. And historically, a lot of these primary voters make up their mind waiting in line.
Well, and again, you throw the variables of convictions at one, maybe more, perhaps, between now and then. Yeah, he could get the numbers, and then you go into the convention here in Milwaukee. It's gonna be challenges, man. Even if he gets it that far. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Happy days, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey guys, yeah, I noticed the kids are all right. I noticed that some kids are not all right. Because I see the North Carolina-based Students for Trump, their co-founder, Ryan Fortner, was just is facing charges of assault on his girlfriend. Apparently, he pistol-whipped her and grabbed her and pistol-whipped her, and only faces misdemeanor charges, which is, to me, galling that... apparently some of these kids are not all right.
And I'm sorry, Mark, I'm not familiar with the story. So this is some like college Republican.
Yeah, he's the founder of the Students for Trump in North Carolina based Students for Trump. And gotcha. I just, came across this story today, and he studied that he's now 27 years old. But I mean, it is just galling that the guy just isn't, facing felony charges. You'd think that doing something like that would at least rate a felony. It's involving a firearm, and that
there's less impact if you get hit with a stick than if with a gun, because obviously you could turn the gun into a different kind of weapon than a striking weapon, let's say, Mark.
Absolutely. I mean, it is just these guys have the moral authority that they claim to have is not there.
Man, yeah, well, that's what attracts them. You just got to claim the moral authority, Mark. It's like, hey, I'm the most moral guy there is. Listen to me. Look at me. Oh, you pistol whip your girlfriend? Don't worry about it. A misdemeanor charge. Oh, whatever. All you got to do, Mark, is claim it. Just say it's what it is, and then people around you, maybe they'll believe it.
God's plan?
If you say it with conviction, it must be true. The Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
I believe it when you say it. Come back with us. We'll tell you what else the Republicans are not in favor of. The local control. We'll tell you why it matters as well. Come back with us. Greatest radio show ever. Some people say you better believe them. You can always be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5 The Tap.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, before we turn our attention to local control, I've received a recent email from the DNC War Room.
Uh-oh.
Talking about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley repeatedly supported repealing the ACA and blocked affordable health care for South Carolinians. Don't they do a great job serving their constituents? In response to Nikki Haley's years-long record of railing against the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion, DNC Press Secretary Serafina Chitka released the following statement. Trump is running to rip away Americans' health care, and Nikki Haley is marching right alongside him, just like she did as governor of South Carolina and as a MAGA minion during his failed one-term presidency. Nikki Haley has promised to follow the Trump agenda of jacking up healthcare costs for millions of Americans and abandoning 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions from asthma to diabetes. As governor, Haley used her power and to block Medicaid expansion for her constituents, just like Scotty Wanker has done, leaving millions of them uninsured and railed against access to the Affordable Care Act. Hardworking American families don't want to go back to paying exorbitant out-of-pocket costs or see their coverage ripped away so that Nikki Haley can line the pockets of her rich friends. I think she's talking about the Koch brothers, Tom. Here are a couple of the prior statements of Nikki Haley, according to the DNC War Room. Haley, we have fought Obamacare in South Carolina as much as we possibly could. We said no to the state exchanges. We said no to the Medicaid expansion. They just turned and set every state back with this bill that we know did not work. I've actually had a good experience with the Obamacare exchanges historically, Dom. One or two more. When it came to Obamacare, we didn't just say no, we said never. And we're going to keep on fighting until we get people like Senator Tim Scott and everybody else in Congress to defund Obamacare. And one more. We would end a disastrous healthcare program and replace it with reforms that lowered costs and actually let you keep your doctor, Dom.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. And how would that work exactly?
We'll get back to you in 2 weeks.
We're going to have it.
We're waiting for Trump to roll out his plan first.
I mean, and literally, this is still a thing. I mean, this, yesterday, New York Times, Trump apparently said he was seriously looking at alternatives to the ACA. So he's still on this. And in this regard, I mean, Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, I mean, policy-wise, are basically locked at the hip, right? I mean, can you think of anything specifically regarding their agenda other than, well, I'll take that out. Specific traditional policies that would be debated amongst the Republican and conservative sides, they're probably agreeing on. Now, tanks in the street and, you know, suppressing suppressing the vote, but tanks in the street and, you know, arresting protesters, those kinds of things, I would imagine perhaps Nikki Haley's not down for, but Donald Trump has made his will and his desires specifically known.
Now, hate to be misogynist or racist on, but the Republican Party sure does have a hankering for a little misogynist racism, Dom. She seems like the wrong candidate at the wrong time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can understand why she might cast appeal with the Koch Brothers Network, but the broader electorate, Dom, she might win back some of your female suburbanites that found Trump abhorrent. But what about the deep down racist in the party? Are they going to come out and vote for a woman of Indian ancestry / a woman? I mean, that doesn't seem like their normal cast.
It's hard to argue that point, and we won't know until and if it happens. But if she's on the ballot, what, they're gonna stay home? I don't know. I think ultimately, yeah, you may lose some of the hardcore, straight up misogynist types. But they're going to act in their Republican self interest. They're going to presumably rally around Nikki Haley. Now, the Trumpsters that came out of the rocks that were never really engaged before, or perhaps just allowed them to
low propensity Trump
voters. Right. They may scurry back. That might be the case. But is it counteracted by, as you mentioned, the suburbanite Republicans who were so turned off by Trump?
No.
You think there's a greater number? I don't know.
My only fear would be, because Donald Trump is a turnout machine for the Republican Party. He's right when he states he got more votes than any incumbent president ever, but he turned out more votes for the Democratic side. Because I strongly believe in my heart of hearts, Dom, that the greatest motivation to vote for Joe Biden was the other guy. The other guy we had seen what 4 years Donald Trump did to this country, to this world.
Continues to do to
chaotic.
This country, to this
chaotic. Yes. And we all thought that Joe Biden was less chaotic by comparison. But I got to tell you, Dom.
Everybody is less chaotic by comparison. Every single Republican running right now is less chaotic by comparison, man.
So my point being is the same urgency that people felt in 2020 to end the reign of Donald Trump and vote for Joe Biden. Are we back to kitchen table issues? Are we fighting about the economy? And I've made the point. I don't think that people perceive the economy to be as strong as your historical data suggest. So my thought would be, if Republicans usually win on economic issues and Nikki Haley is the representative of the Republicans, she's not going to turn them out for the Democrats. They're not going to fear her. They're not going to fear a Nikki Haley administration and tanks in the streets in the same way we would fear another Trump administration. That is not going to motivate people. And in fact, I think we would see a lot more bleed to third-party voters if Nikki Haley indeed was the Republican nominee and on the general election ticket.
Perhaps, but I don't want to give overweight to the fascism that Trump is espousing. Now, there's still obviously the abortion issue that Republicans are all about. They're going to continue to lose on that. This isn't, there's so many things obviously still unsettled. The self-governance, as we talk about often, this is never done. This is an ongoing process. You can engage or not engage, but governance is going to happen one way or the other. And if you're involved, at least perhaps you got a little skin in the game, a little input to it.
What do you used to say? You said it many times on this show. If you don't vote, what, Dom?
If you don't vote, you don't get to bitch.
Except on our phone lines at 844-967-2789. Maybe we'll talk local control. Maybe we won't. But I sense a debate brewing, Dom.
Uh-oh.
I got a problem with your perceptions on whether or not non-citizens should be able to vote. Let's argue about it, because I don't like you so much.
844-967-2789. That debate and your calls coming up.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.